Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Let's all stand up just for a second. I want your fannies fresh whenever I start preaching, all right? So, this is what I want to do this morning with everybody standing up. I want to thank the Johns for being with us. Again, if we are mission-minded here at this church, and I've been praying for a long time that, Lord, ever since I've been here, Lord, get us onto the campuses. And this is one way of doing this. They've been on the campus. They've been doing this. You guys spend 40 or 50 hours a week on campus, don't you? That's a lot. I mean, their time is spent with these college kids, and if I gave them the entire service, they could tell you in detail what they do. But let me tell you, I've spent time with them, and I've talked with them in my office, and this is good ground, church. This is good ground, okay? So if the Lord's speaking to you to give or to help support, check out their table at the back, and I know that it'll be good ground and fruitful ground. Amen? We went through some membership classes yesterday. And I want to present in front of the entire church four new members of New Freedom Church. So could I have Patricia White? Where is she? There you go. Come on up here, Patricia. You guys give her a hand. Stay right there. Bijou and Sarah Joy. There you go. And Jody Lemire. Come on up, Jody. You guys come on up in front right here. We welcome you guys in, and we bless you in the name of the Lord. We thank you so. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have brought these families here into this church. And Lord, we covet to pray with them, to support them, to encourage them, to come alongside of them, Lord. We thank you so much for their life and their commitment to you and their commitment to this church. And so, Lord, we bless them. And I pray, Father, that you would lay upon their heart a place of ministry where you choose to direct them in this church, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you, Father, for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You guys, we love you and we welcome you into New Freedom Church. Amen. All right. You guys can be seated. All right. This morning, we'll conclude my series on freedom. And if you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Everybody say Thessalonians. Thessalonians. Don't you just like that word? Thessalonians. You don't say that every day, do you? Thessalonians. It's like when I moved up here, every single last name that I come across, I've never heard before. So it's like learning English all over again. So. Thessalonians, I love that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. While you guys are turning, I'm just going to flip over here to another one real quick and get ahead of you. All right. Okay. All right. This morning we're talking about being joyful. What does joy mean? What does it look like? Well, here's what the Bible says about it, all right? It says 1 Thessalonians 5:16, three words, be joyful always. Hey, you know what? Because it's so short, let's just say it together. Ready? Be joyful always. Some of you may have the King James Version. Be ye joyful always. It's got that ye in there, all right? So that's an anointed ye, by the way, okay? Be joyful always. What does that look like? First, notice the writer didn't say be happy always, all right? You guys remember that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? Don't worry, be happy. Come on. Don't worry, be happy. Come on. Okay, never mind. Yeah, who's whistling? There we go. but anyway, you know, it's interesting to know that the guy that sang that song and wrote that song shot and killed himself. Don't worry, be happy, right? Notice that the Bible didn't say, be happy always. We can be happy about something, and the next minute we can be annoyed by that same something, right? We go from, oh, look at our baby playing the drums on the pots and pans in the kitchen. He's doing so good. He's going to be so musical. 5 minutes later, shut up. Stop doing that. Turn it off. Get the pots and pans back in the cupboards where they're supposed to go. You're killing me. So 1 minute we're happy about something. The next we're not. We're annoyed and everything is. Now, listen, trust me. I like to be happy. Raise your hand if you like to be happy in this place. Yep. Now, the ones that didn't raise your hand, I don't know what to tell you. It's better than being annoyed, right? It's better than being aggravated all the time. It's better than, you know, all that negative stuff. So, but the Bible says, be joyful always, because your happiness can be taken away. True joy comes from the Lord. It comes from an understanding that we were once lost, and now we have hope. You guys ever been lost before? My son, Christian, when he was small. Christian, how old were you when that happened? I think maybe he was in the first grade. We went on a field trip, and we went to this place called Chickasaw State Park. It's an amazing park. It's got a lot of great trails in throughout the woods. And Christian and, was it two others? Austin and somebody else. Their guide that was leading them, I don't know if they got separated or what, but when it was time to put everybody back onto the bus, there were three kids missing, and mine was one of them. And so we looked for an hour or better, and we screamed, we blew whistles, we did everything we possibly could, and no Christian, no Austin, no what's his name, all right? Completely, utterly lost. And then one of the brother of Austin, Will Rich, he went down a main road, just to see if they were walking down the road. And these three kids had flagged down a car. These three first graders had flagged down a car and said, we are lost. We have no clue where we're at. Our guide left us and abandoned us, and we're all by ourselves. And Will saw them and yelled at them. And I asked Christian, I said, what did you guys do whenever you were lost? Were you afraid? He goes, oh, yeah, we were afraid. We were screaming and crying. And then we started praying, Dad. We just started praying and asking God to get us out of here, you know. And that's what happened. But when you get lost, you feel a sense of just complete freak-out mode, right? You're in freak-out mode. You don't know which way to go. You don't know which way is up. You don't know where north is, south, east, and west. It's really, really scary to be lost. I remember going hunting one time in Clifton, Tennessee. And I know you guys have never been in Clifton, Tennessee, but let me say this. Clifton, Tennessee is a town like Mayberry, all right? Mayberry would be the capital city in Clifton, all right? Clifton is just a very small town. It's got a couple of prisons in it, and that's about it. But we deer hunted a lot in Clifton because it had deep valleys, and we call them hollers down there, and there were good places to hunt. And my dad one time, as a kid, he went down into one of these hollers, and he got himself stuck and lost. How many guys ever been stuck and lost? Well, that's where he was. And when you get way down in there, the sunlight doesn't reach down in the deep valleys. All right, and so it gets darker like 45 minutes quicker than it does for everybody else. And so he could not tell where he was going and which way he was going. He was scared to death. And so whenever we are without hope and we are without loss, we feel the same sense of loss, that same sense of not having direction. The Bible says that we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead in our sins. Everybody look to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. I want to read this to you. While you guys are turning, true joy comes from the Lord. It comes from an understanding that we were once lost, and now we have hope. The prognosis of our outcome was bleak. And the Bible says that in Ephesians 2, and if you don't have your Bible, it should be up there. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were but by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, everybody say rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. In Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up from the dead. He raised us up. The Bible says that we were objects of wrath. That's a scary thing, isn't it? We were objects of wrath. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your transgressions. But He has made us alive through Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So joy is not based on how we feel, but rather on a knowledge and acceptance of a finished work from Christ Jesus. So how can we obtain joy? How can we supposed to be joyful always? Look at verse 9. It says, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know what? We're good at boasting, aren't we? Now, we don't go around and say, hey, look at my big red shiny pen, all right? But we'll go, our bragging is kind of subtle. We'll go, hey, notice anything different about me? Notice anything, you know? Is that, and our braggadocious attitude is more subtle than that. But we're good at taking credit for stuff that we didn't do. And we don't mean to do it. That's just our nature. And we have to fight that nature. Paul said, I have to fight that all the time. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And so Paul said that there's a war that's happening here. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And the things that I do, I don't want to do. And so there's a constant battle here, and I want to show you the descriptive nature of Ephesians 2. It says, we were all dead in our transgressions and our sin. We were without hope. It says in verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. I mean, has anybody ever called you, you're an object of wrath? Ever called you that one day? Today, you're my object of wrath. Maybe your boss has said that once or twice. Dana says that to me all the time. No, I'm kidding. She's not even in here. But to say that you were an object of wrath, you were the focus of my wrath. That's serious stuff. But then you go on to read. It says, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And not only did He save us, but watch what verse 6 says. And God raised us up with Christ. Let's stop right there. That would be enough. God raised us up with Christ. You stop right there and we're redeemed. You stop right there and we have a relationship with Jesus. We're in fellowship with God. But it goes on to say, not only did He raise us up with Christ, but He also seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You go on to look in verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship." We went from being dead in our transgressions and dead in our sin and objects of wrath to God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That is the source of our joy, church. The fact that we have been redeemed, the fact that we had no hope, we were down in a hollow where no light could come in, and we didn't know where north was or south was. We didn't know where up or down was. We were without hope. We were set to wonder for the rest of our lives. We were objects of wrath, and because of that, we were presupposed to death and no hope. But because of God's great riches and His mercy, He has set us free from the law of sin and death. And it's by His grace, it's by His gift, it's by His mercy that we are saved. Amen? You want to know how to find joy in your life? It's not in marriage. It's not in relationships. It's not in your jobs. It's not in your hobbies. Although I love to hunt. I love to hunt, but it doesn't give me joy. Makes me happy, but it doesn't give me joy. Joy, true joy, comes in knowing that we are redeemed, that we were once lost, and now we're found, church. Amen? That we now have the opportunity to be sons of God and not objects of wrath anymore. We now have an opportunity to have a purpose-filled life and not just wander around aimlessly where no sunlight comes in. We now can advance. We now can speak the word of life and the word of truth over people's lives. We no longer are lost. And because of that, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? My son, whenever he saw Will and saw the rest of us, they were overjoyed because they were lost. They were crying. They had no hope. They didn't know if they'd ever see us again. Imagine if you were a first grader in their situation, lost in the woods. You'd feel the same way. And you and I are the exact same situation that Ephesians 2 tells us, that we were dead in our transgressions and our sins. But because of His great mercy and grace, He raised us up with Christ Jesus and set us with Him. Why? To display to all the world how merciful, how loving is our God. Because He loves us so much. Not only that, but He calls us His workmanship. Guys, you ever made something with wood and you're like, whoa, I just surprised myself. That's pretty cool. I did a good job. Nobody? Me neither. I don't. Maybe it's something else. If I build a table, it's going to look like this, and it's going to rock and everything else. But, you know, sometimes you surprise yourself, and you're proud of what you've done, and you want to display it for all the world to see, and everybody that will give a five-minute lending ear to you so that you can display what you've done. And that's what God has done to humanity, done to you, because you were dead in your transgressions and you had no joy, you had no hope, and you had no direction. And because of His great mercy and because of His grace and His salvation toward us, we now have hope and we now have joy. And because of it, He calls us His workmanship. He calls us His sons and His daughters. Amen? So, how are some of the ways that we can keep our joy? Number one, by remembering what Christ has done for us. We can have convenient memory loss sometimes, can't we? We're selective about what we remember. One of my kids were telling me something about something yesterday. See, already I forgot. Something about something. And he said, "Dad, you listening?" "Yeah." I wasn't. I was trying to watch golf or something on TV. I can't remember what it was. But we all have selective memory. We want to forget sometimes, especially in the heat of the battle, when things are tough, when things surround us and we don't understand or know how to get out of it. We forget about the goodness of God. For example, let's say you take your son or daughter to Six Flags. How many of you guys have ever been to Six Flags? Isn't it great? Love Six Flags. My wife, she doesn't like Six Flags. She gets sick on the swings, all right? So I'm not talking about the swings down at the park here. I'm talking about like just regular swings. She gets sick on the swings. So, but suppose you take your son or your daughter to Six Flags one day and you say, son, daughter, let you, anything you want to ride, you can ride. You can ride as many times as you want to ride, and their eyes light up, and their emotions get all crazy, and they're just ready to go. You get down there, and you let them ride this ride, and they want to ride it six times, so you let them ride it six times. You want to play a game, so you let them play that game. You let them get a Coney dog. You let them eat that Coney dog. You let them get cotton candy. Look, Dean wants to go with me to Six Flags. Look at him. He's laughing over here. Let's do it, Pastor. Let's go. And you let them eat the Coney dog and the cotton candy and the Coke and all these different things, and he's hyped up beyond imaginability. And you let him play games, and you let him ride the rides. You let him do all these things, and by the end of the day, you're having to pick him up because he's just too exhausted to go home. And so you get them in the car and you go down the street and you go to the gas station to gas up to come back to Green Bay, and your son staggers out of the car and he goes inside and dusts his eyes off and he looks over there and at the gas station, you know those little 50-cent machines where you can get the tattoos or you can get the rubber ball or you can get something that's worthless, you know what I'm saying? And so you go over there and he's like, oh, hey, Dad, man, can I have a tattoo? And you go, no. And all of a sudden, he just freaks out on you. You never let me do anything. You never let me go anywhere. You never let me do. You just, oh, it's just 50 cents, Dad. Come on. And he's lost what he forgot where he just was, what he just got to do. He forgot about the goodness of his mom and dad. He forgot about all the grace that his mom and dad let him have. And sometimes we can be that little kid standing at that little 50-cent tattoo machine begging and pleading for his way. Begging and pleading and forgetting that God is merciful, that he's extended his grace and his healing and his love toward us. We forget it in the heat of the battle and in our own wants, and we throw it all away, and we get so short-sighted that we forget that his love is never failing, that his mercy endures forever, and we forget that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and that he has saved us, redeemed us, called us his son and daughter, that we are now not only raised up with him, but we're seated beside him. We're now heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We forget all of that, but we stare at that little 50-cent tattoo machine and we curse the day we were born. Because we forget about what God has done in our life. We forget about his mercy. We forget that darkest time in our life when we couldn't even raise our head up out of bed and we called upon the name of the Lord. He was there. He brought light into that room. He brought peace to our weary mind. He brought satisfaction to our heart. He brought healing to our life. We forget about those things. We forget about those things when the day is darkest in our life. We forget about the health in our bodies. We forget about the roof over our head. We forget about the job and the newly acquired job, praise God. And we forget about God's faithfulness. We forget about the time that we prayed and we needed God to answer us that day. And because of his mercy and because of his love and because he loves us so much, he answered us almost instantaneously. We forget about those things. And the Bible, I want to show you. Let's turn to, again, if you don't have your Bible, it's all going to be up here. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 16, 11, 12. You know, you may be here and you say, well, Pastor, he hasn't done any mighty works in my life. Then I would say to you this. Take your hands off of your life. And trust the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we don't want to take our hands off of our life and trust the Lord. Why? Because it requires faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God except by what?
Faith.
The only way that we can move God, it's not with our tears, it's not with our emotions, it's not with our situation, it's not with our problems, it's not with our character flaws, it's not with our pleading, it's not with anything else except by faith. It's the only thing that moves God. And so, 1 Chronicles 16, let's read this together. It says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face today. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and his judgments he pronounced. Remember the wonders he has done. Remember those things. If you can't remember what God has done in your life, take the word of God and read the scripture, because it chronicles his mighty works. Amen. It chronicles how he split the Red Sea so that his people, his promised people, could go to the other side. It talks about Jesus going to Lazarus' funeral late by several days, and he called out to Lazarus and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says that Lazarus came out and he was bound. He was still tied up in his funeral clothing. He was bound up. We forget about the times where Jesus, when he was in the boat and he was going to the other side, and the disciples were freaking out because the wind and the waves were pelting against the boat so much that they thought they were going to capsize. And these guys weren't rookies. These guys weren't wet behind the ears when coming to sailing. They were fishermen. They knew how to do it, but they were scared to death. But Jesus was down in the belly of this boat sleeping because he was trusting in his word that he was going to go to the other side. Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. When did he rebuke the wind and the waves? When his people called upon his name. See, it wasn't the wind that woke him up. Wasn't the rain that was pelting up against the boat that woke him up. The only thing that woke him up was his people calling his name. Amen. Remember his wonders. Remember his works. Let's go to the next one. Psalm 63, 6 through 7. Psalm 63, 6 through 7. On my bed I remember you. I think of your thoughts. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. On my bed I remember you. Sometimes as we're sleeping and as we try to get to sleep, the worries of this world consume our thoughts, don't it? Consume our thoughts. What we got to do about the next day and this issue and that issue and what we're going through now. But the writer of Psalms says that on my bed at night, I'll remember you. All right? Isaiah 46, 8 through 10. Isaiah 46, 8 through 10, it says, "Remember this, fix it in your mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please." That's not some prophet saying that. That is God speaking to his people. Amen? He says this. He said, "Remember this. Fix it in your mind. Take it to heart." Remember those things. Fix it into your mind. How many times do we fix other stuff in our mind? Many other times do we just let other things consume our minds? Worry is a big issue, right? We let worry completely overwhelm ourselves and our lives, and it robs us of our joy. It robs us of our peace. And the only time that we can have complete joy and maintain that joy is to remember. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at it. "So do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but rejoice with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Go to verse 14. "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you." You were to guard those things that God deposits in your life. You were to place complete all of your thought, all of your energy, guarding those things that God has deposited deep down inside of you, in order that you will remember his goodness, you will remember his faithfulness. You will remember that even in the depths of sorrow, in the midst of loneliness, in the midst of despair, that he is with you. Amen? Last but not least, I want you guys turn with me to Psalms real quick. Psalms chapter 18. I think I added that one, Randy, this morning. Psalms chapter 18. One through 17. I want to show you how God responds to us in our distress. This is so descriptive, okay? So descriptive. Let's look at it together. I'm reading out of the NIV, so maybe a little bit different from what you have. It says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I will call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around about me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked." Listen to God's response to his call. He said, "I cried to God for help from his temple. He heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." Verse 7, "The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, his canopy around about me. The dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the darkness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O God, at the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high, took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from the powerful enemies." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise this morning. When his people call out in distress, the Bible says the earth trembled and quaked, the mountains and the foundations of the earth shook. They trembled. They trembled because his people, because of his children calling upon him in their time of need and time of distress. Now, don't tell me that my God is not able. Don't tell me that his presence is not near you. Don't tell me that he can't overcome those things that you call upon his name for. Amen? Because we have an advocate in heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he ever gives intercession for you and I. And when he hears us, he acts upon it. He will move the foundations of the earth to come to your need. He will come and remove the foundations of the earth and lay barren all the earth just to come to your need. Our God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Don't ever forget the greatness, the vastness, the love, the depth, the riches of the mercies of God. Because the moment that we forget is the moment we give over our joy. That joy, the source of our joy, isn't in our efforts. That's called happiness, being happy. But the source of all joy, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, that joy that you can't even utter or speak about, that is so full of glory that you can't even describe it, that joy resides in every heart and every life of everyone that is blood-bought and born again, who call themselves children of God. It's yours for the taking. It's your inheritance. And I encourage you today, if you don't have joy in your life, if you don't know Christ, today's your day. If you don't know Him as Savior, as Lord, if you don't know this joy unspeakable, this if you don't know what it means to be joyful always doesn't mean that you go around and just giggle at everything that goes on in your life. That's called an insane person, all right? That's not having true joy. It's like the song that we sang earlier. There may be pain in the night, but we know that joy comes in the morning. Why? Because He loves us. Why? Because when we call upon His name, the Bible says that He came to me. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the earth shook. They trembled because He was angry. Not at you, but angry at our enemies. He'll move heaven and earth just to come to our aid. Don't ever think that God doesn't hear you when you cry out to Him. Don't ever think that one moment that God is lax in His promises, because our God is faithful. Amen. Our God is faithful. And because of that one statement, our God is faithful, should bring about joy inside of us that cannot be removed. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. First Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. Church, there is freedom and joy. Amen? There is freedom and joy. Let's all bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank You so much that You have given us a joy that is beyond ourselves. You've given us a joy that goes to the very deep and depth and core of who we are. I thank You for the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Help us, God, to remember Your good works, because it's in remembering that sustains our joy. It's through remembering that hope abides. It's through remembering that we know that You are coming to our aid, that You are our ever-ready present help in our time of need. You do not grow lax. Your faithfulness to us goes beyond all generations. Because of Your great love for us, we now have joy. We now have peace. We now know what it feels like to have hope. To know that we may be crushed, but we're not pressed. Persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We are blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, that His joy is going to be our strength. And though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in the morning. This morning, as we pray, I want to ask you, are you willing today to trade your sorrows, your shame, your pain? You lay them all down for the joy of the Lord. Maybe it's you trading your sickness. Maybe it's you're trading your day. Maybe it's you're trading things that people have said to you for so many years that you believe it, and you're willing to lay that down and trust. Trust Jesus, like Pastor Johnny said. Trust Him. Father, this morning, I thank You for joy. I thank You, Father, that there is liberty and joy. I thank You so much, Lord, that You have given us so much joy that it overtakes and overwhelms our life. And Father, if there's any this morning that is without joy, they have lost their joy because they have failed to remember, I pray in the name of Jesus that they begin to recite Your word over their life. They'd begin to declare Your precepts over their life. That they begin to declare Your promises, Your living, active word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. That word, Lord, let it rejuvenate their life. Father, like the bones and the dry valley, Lord, that you would cause the sinews and the muscles and the tissues to come back on them again and to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Today, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you. You say, Pastor, I don't know Christ. I don't know Him. But I want to accept Him today as my Lord and Savior, not just in my heart, but I want Him to be Lord and Savior of my entire life. I want Him to be Lord and Savior of my attitude. I want Him to be Lord and Savior over my hurts. I want Him to be Lord and Savior over the sin in my life. I want that hope you're talking about. I want that joy you're talking about. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand. Let me see that. Just keep it up there. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I am a believer, but man, you just don't know what I've been through and what I am going through. I am here standing solely on the grace of God, and I am about to quit. And I need Jesus. I need that joy again. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray over you this morning. Okay. Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that when your children call upon your name, the very foundations of the earth cannot stop the mighty hand of God toward you. I want you to remember the word of the Lord, that He is your banner. He is your hiding place. He is your strong tower. He is your rock. He is your Lord and Savior. He is your healer and your deliverer. He is your everlasting peace. He is your strong right hand. He's your counselor. He's the lover of your soul. He is the God that said, I have every day planned out for you. I have good works planned for you. He knows the intentions of your heart. This El Shaddai. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the word of God would flow over your heart. That the Holy Spirit would begin to bring to remembrance all that God has done for you, so that your joy may be made complete. God, may we shout when we're supposed to cry. May we stand when we're supposed to fall apart. May we believe when everything about us and every circumstance around us tells us to curse God and die. May we worship when we're supposed to curse. May we rejoice when we're supposed to mourn. May we be healed when we're supposed to be broken. May there be shouts of adoration instead of depression and loneliness. And may we stand with a mighty backbone. May we stand with the strength of God rather than cower to our circumstances. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. May we say to that mountain that seems to be impassable, to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done so. May I remind you that Jesus said, greater works will you do than me? Jesus said that. May your joy be complete today. May healing wash over you like a warm balm today. receive that healing today. If you would, if you feel comfortable, I want you to raise your hands in a receiving. Just, that's all it is. We're just receiving this morning. You feel that, just receive that this morning. Lord, I, like a child reaching up to their mom or their dad, receiving them. Lord, I receive. I receive. I stop my panicking. I stop my fretting. And Lord, I choose today, by faith, receive your joy. A joy that I can't work for, a joy and a grace that I can't earn. I can't be good enough. I can't do tons of good deeds to attain this joy and grace. But it's only because of your loving kindness. It's a free gift to me, and I receive it wholeheartedly. I receive it today, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my fretting. Forgive me of my worrying. Forgive me of my complaining. Forgive me for my focus being on my issues rather than being on my Savior. And Lord, today I put my affections and my heart and my emotions and my energy. I fix myself on the author and the finisher of my faith. May you be my strength and joy. May you be my peace and rest. Because, Lord, I will hope in you. I will trust in you. Because you are my Redeemer. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. And I trust you. I trust you. Hallelujah. Bill and Melinda, will you guys come up here for a second? Ron, would you come up here? Amy? Yeah, that's fine. Lord, I was speaking a word, and it's about healing. God's bringing some healing over both of you, over you specifically. And I don't know what all that entails. I don't have this long list of what thus saith the Lord. All I know is that God said there's healing coming to Bill and Melinda, and there's healing specifically coming to you, Melinda. And this morning I want you to receive that. I'm going to anoint both of you, and I believe that when we do that, the Bible says to call upon the elders of the church to lay hands on you, and you will be healed. And when I do that, I'm believing that God's going to heal you. Amen. I want you guys to stretch your hands this way. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that there's order. And I thank you that there's a specific way that you ask us to do things. And so, Lord, today, I'm being obedient to your word. And Lord, as I anoint Melinda, and as I anoint Bill, I thank you for your streams of healing and restoration to flow over them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that they would have a new sense of hope that they haven't had in a long time. I thank you, Father, specifically for Melinda, God, that you would just begin to heal her through and through, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing to be released upon Bill and Melinda, now, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word that brings that healing. Lord, it's not my touch, but it's your word. And Father, we just receive that now in the name of Jesus. We receive it joyfully. We receive it with hope in the name of Jesus. God, that you have spoken directly to them, may the joy of the Lord be their strength. May joy unspeakable and full of glory fill their house. May it consume their marriage. May it consume them individually. May it ooze out of them, Father, as they're teaching children. God, may it ooze out of them, Father, as they're working at life skills. May it ooze out of them, Father, as Bill is repairing computers. As God, may it ooze out of them. May it overflow into their children in Jesus' name. I thank you for renewal
now, today, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that horn of gladness, God. I thank you for that anointing oil that flows down like it flowed down the beard of Aaron. Oh, I thank you so much, Father, for your healing. In the name of Jesus, may your peace overtake them. May your joy be a marker of their life. May it be their banner in Jesus' name. May it mark them for the rest of their lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you for this word, God. And Lord, we bless them. We thank you for their faithfulness in ministry. We thank you for their excellence, Lord. And Father, let this blessing, let this joy overtake them. May it mark them for the rest of their days. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father, for your healing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stay in an attitude of a prayer just for a few more moments. Let's see what the Lord has this morning. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Would you just get an attitude of thankfulness? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your great work. Thank you, Lord, that you're healing me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord.
Say that there are some here that are going through a trial, but that the Lord knows about that trial, and he knows that you are going through. And some of these trials are necessary because they will keep you close to him. Those trials are needed. Saying, do not run from those trials, but lean into him. That joy will remain, but do not run from the trial that has been placed there by the Lord. He is saying, if you are his child, and nothing can touch you. Nothing can come into your life without him allowing it. So he's saying to take comfort that he knows what you're going through, and not to run from this, but to embrace him through it. That it's for a reason, and that you can still have joy in this trial. The Lord is saying this and wants you to be comforted.
Thank you, Lord. What you just heard was an exhortation from the Lord, spoken from man, spoken from through Randy. God speaks to us and he exhorts us. He gives us hope through those things, through those words. Father, we come before you and we thank you that you have made our joy complete by accepting us just as we are, broken, jaded, impossible sometimes, stiff-necked, hardened-hearted. You accepted us just like we are. And because of that, Lord, you have given me joy. You've given me hope. I have seen the light, Lord, and that light is, there's healing in it. There's hope in it. There's restoration in it. And Father, in that, there is hope for a broken relationship between you and I. That now I can be reconciled with you, and I can now be called not an object of wrath or being dead in my sins any longer, but I now can be called a child of God, seated with Christ Jesus, raised with him, heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus, that what is his is now mine, and I accept them freely. I accept them knowing that I can't ever work to get these things. I can't be good enough to receive them. And I acknowledge, Lord, that they are gifts from you. And Lord, I receive it wholeheartedly into my life. And this morning, may the joy of the Lord be your strength. May you walk out of this sanctuary this morning with the joy of the Lord in your life. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rapture you today. May His peace be yours. May His healing be yours today, because He is with you. He is with you. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there for me. It says your rod and your staff, they comfort me, cause me to lie down in green pastures. He said, you restore my soul. Wow. You restore my soul. And so, Father, I speak that over this congregation this morning. God, may the joy of the Lord be their strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I tell you what, God is so good, it's ridiculous, right? Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. He's so good. Amen. Randy, could you get the lights back there? Listen, I want you to do something for me. We're just about to leave, and this is one last thing. Have the ushers come forward real quick. Real quick. If you would, take these with you. Take that. Have one more usher. Christian, help me out, son. Are you? Tristan and Christian. Come on, Tristan. You can help me out, too. Come on. Pass those out right there to that middle row. There you go. Listen, I know Pastor Johnny mentioned this, but I want to say it again. Kim and David Collins are coming the 14th and 15th to this church. I believe that God has sent them here for a reason and for a purpose. And I want you to make plans to be here. Invite someone to be here. Ladies, I've pulled you aside and talked to you about it as well. Kim speaks a lot in conferences, and God, the Holy Spirit really speaks through her. September 14th at 6 o'clock right here, there's going to be worship. There's going to be the preaching of the Word. There's going to be a chance for you to respond to it and connect. And it's going to be an awesome, deep, rich time. And then Sunday and Sunday night, they're both going to be ministering together, and I want you to be here, all right? Take this, give it out to somebody, put it up in the break room at your work, wherever. Put it up, spread the word, all right? Listen, love you guys. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great, great Sunday, everybody.
hesitate to say the way you really feel. Like there's no way that I could understand where you were coming from. But if we could tear down these walls of bricks and mortar, build a field, I think we'd be surprised to find how small the differences become. Cause we're all in the same boat, sailing on the same old stormy sea. And if you look real close, find you're alive like me. We carry different burdens and we're wearing different battle scars. If we both had only, we would bury them forever. They gave us different stories how we came to be. Is the common thread that binds them all together.
Take me, make me all you want me to be. It's all I'm asking, all I'm asking. Welcome to this heart of mine, buried under bridal vines. Grown to hide the mess I've made inside of me. Come decorate, Lord, and open up the creaking door and walk upon the dusty floor. Scrape away the guilty stains until no sin or shame remain. Spread your love upon the walls and occupy the empty halls until the man I am has faded. No more doors are barricaded. Come inside this heart of mine, it's not my own. Make it home. Come and take this heart and make it all your own. Welcome home. Take a seat, beloved, forgive me for the disrepair and souvenirs from floor to ceiling, gathered on my search for meaning in every closet filled with clutter. Mess is yet to be discovered. I'm overwhelmed to understand. I can't make this place all that you can. Come inside this heart of mine. It's not my own. Make it home. Come and take this heart and make it all your own. Welcome. And I took this space that you placed in me. Redecorated in shades of greed. And I made sure every door stayed locked, every window blocked, and still you now. We can see how many at my own.
Take me into the beautiful. Won't you take me back again? With the love unexplained, come and fill up this dry land. Let it open our eyes to see a world we've never seen. Let it open our hearts up to feel you inside of us, inside of me. Take me to the beautiful, where the rivers flow, where the love that never ends. Oh, I want to go to the beautiful. Oh, la 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 la. Take me to the beautiful, where the faces glow, where the light that never dims. Oh, I want to go to the beautiful. Oh, come on and take me. Gently lift me with your grace. Make the chaos a chorus. With yourself, come fill this place. Cover me with your mercy. Come and cover me with love. Cover me so that all might see that you're not made of sure. I'm singing up. Take me.